How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Turning over.
Turning over. Is there a hare in the gate? Is that what people say?
Check the gate. I think there's a hare.
That's old second.
Dust.
Is that like an... Not old second. Isn't that like an old-fashioned filming thing when they use actual film?
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, because they use those... That's what there's like... Psh, they blast it with air to get rid of it so you don't get fingerprints or anything like that.
But, yeah, like when you have an eye test.
Oh, yes! I remember having an eye test like that.
Oh, by the way, you're listening to Like-Minded Friends.
Oh, yes! Hello!
With me, Susie Ruffle, and him... Tom Allen.
Yes, yes.
When was the last time you had an eye exam?
Long time ago. Long, long time ago. Maybe 10, 15, when I shaved my head, like 14 years ago.
How's your vision?
It didn't change. It wasn't like Samson, where he lost his hair and all his powers. But one of the few times I did an acting job. And that's...
Is this when you were in Starter for Ten?
This is when I was in Sensitive Skin with Joanna Lumley. And I played her friend's son. I told you this story, soon.
I don't know that you have. I don't know if you've told the listeners.
Well, lovely series. Hugo Blick made it. And Joanna Lumley... It's just a very nice programme, which kind of epitomises a different time to now. It was just sort of about a woman... in her 60s, I think she was, John Lumley's character is just sort of getting through life, and then she loses her husband and she sort of has to carry on getting through life, and she's just sort of, it's just sort of very sort of pensive and quite sort of nice in a quiet sort of literally sensitive way.
And what was your role? Were you her husband?
I was Joanna Lumley.
You were Joanna Lumley. How lovely. I love your Joanna Lumley.
Yes. Hello, darling. I was her friend's son, and he took off his hat and he had a mohawk underneath. And so they took me to the barbers and got me that. And I thought, well, I'm halfway there. I'll just have a shaved head from now on in. But they also wanted to change my eye colour. So I had the same colour eyes as Diana Quick, who's playing my mother. So I had... contact lenses with different colour. Is that the iris or the iris? Anyway, that was the last time I had an eye test.
The thing is, you've constantly there's so many names that you can drop.
I know,
it's a lovely thing.
A lot of names. Clang 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 clang. It is Christmas. Ring out the bells for Christmas. When was the last time you had your mincers done?
Mincers, is that what they're called?
Mince pies.
Oh, yeah. Do you like a mince pie? I love a mince pie.
I love a mince pie.
What do you do with it? Do you heat it up?
No, I don't fuss around, actually. I know everybody likes to heat it up, put a dollop of cream on it.
Do you just do it in two bites?
Pretty much, yeah.
Hop, hop, hop.
But they have to be a nice pastry, an all-butter pastry, I find.
I mean, Tom, I would give you nothing less.
Nothing less. I know.
What we do in our house is we take off the... And by my house, I mean mine and Alice's. This isn't a Ruffle thing. This is very much an Alice thing.
Oh, something you've created.
Thank you. And if anyone from MasterChef is listening, hello.
You know they will be. You know they will be.
We will get a mince pie. Okay. We'll slice off the top of the mince pie.
Okay.
Take off the lid. Yeah. Put him... And yes, I've gendered him.
Yes.
Pop him in the microwave for exactly 45 seconds.
With the lid or without?
With the lid off, but the lid in the bowl still.
Yeah.
45 seconds. Any more, you're going to have a situation where she melts. She's changed.
McDonald's like levels of heat.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, we've spoken before.
Yeah,
about
nuclear apple pie. Yeah.
Yes. Then... take it out of the microwave, then get some cream, pour cream in the top, then put the lid back on.
My only question,
what do you think of that?
Love everything about it. What sort of cream is it? A double cream?
Tom, we're not pricks.
It's not a clotted cream or anything like that.
Oh, no, I wouldn't go a clotted cream, but I'll tell you what I would go. A little dollop of ice cream.
Oh,
I'd be open to it. Oh,
that sounds nice. Would you put that inside and then lid on top?
I like the idea of that. Yeah, why not?
Do listeners, do be careful. If you are microwaving a mince pie, do take off the foil.
That is very important.
Did you ever do that as a child? Like, think you were all clever with a microwave and then put a spoon in or something? Not like literally by accident. And you just, it's very frightening.
Cause what happens? It goes bang.
Yeah, I think so. It catches fire. It's very dangerous. Definitely.
Oh, it catches fire. It
catches fire, yeah.
Oh, no, I've not done that.
Definitely don't do that. So do take it out of the foil. I'm sure all our listeners know that, but I just like to look at
not all of them.
I just think we have a responsibility.
Can't be sure of all of them.
You can't be sure. You can't be sure. I don't know why it does it. Something about reflecting heat, I imagine, or something. I don't know why. Just don't do it. Anything metallic shan't go in the microwave. Cannot go.
For the love of God, don't do it.
For the love of God, not at Christmas.
Tom, before we get into things, is that a mohair cardigan you're wearing?
It isn't actually. It is a sort of wool. Right. But it is a bit baggy because I've been wearing it for a few days. But it is a shawl collar,
which I'm very fond of for you.
It's very handy just to throw on a cardi around the house.
Has it got elbow patches? It looks like the kind of cardigan that
it probably needs
patches.
Them. Probably needs them. I bought it in Melbourne actually when it was a bit cold. Funny to think.
I get it. You've travelled.
She's travelled. Susie, what do you wear around the house when you're feeling a bit nippy?
I might chuck on a cardi or a hoodie.
A hoodie. You like a hoodie, don't you?
I do like a hoodie, yeah.
Over the head or zippy?
Over the head, if poss. But you know, I love wearing a full tracksuit.
Matching.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lovely.
I should say so. A matching tracksuit and a heated mince pie. That's me happy.
That's you happy, plonked on the sofa in front of Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah, or any sort of murder programme.
Really?
Yeah, or something.
What are you thinking?
No, sorry, I thought there was a buzz at the door.
Oh, it's relentless, isn't it?
I don't think there is.
I was talking to my therapist on Wednesday for the first time. The door, not for the first time, but for the first time in a few weeks, and the door was like Piccadilly Circus. Like, anything you could be delivered was delivered. Like everything.
Because I'm doing all my shopping online this year because I don't want to go to the shops.
Yeah, good idea. Has that been okay? I have not done anything. I've not done any Christmas shopping.
I don't think you need to worry about Christmas shopping.
Do you think? Am I excused?
I think you're totally excused.
Oh, thank God. I mean, oh.
I actually have your Christmas present here. Shall I show you it? Because I think it will make you laugh.
Susie, I'd love that.
Okay. It arrived today. It's from Philip Normal.
Oh yeah, I like him.
Right, okay. So this, I was going to bring this, obviously, before everything changed. I was going to bring this to your party. I thought it'd be a funny gift to give you.
Oh.
But don't worry, I'm still going to bring it.
And not having the party anymore, by the way.
Yes. Yes, but I think it, I think you could explain to the listener what it is.
Oh my God.
And I think it might be a fun thing to do, a fun thing to give you a gift.
Oh yes, an audio described gift, Susie.
Okay, so you've got to appreciate it. It will be stuffed when you receive it.
Oh, my goodness.
Currently, it's just the cushion cover.
Oh, I thought it was a chicken. You know how
yes,
I like
it. Yes, it's just a chicken. Okay, let's see if I can hold this so you can read it.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you see what it is?
Yes! Oh, my goodness, I love it! It's a tweet, a blue tick tweet from the one and only Cher. And she says, want to tell you something. This is your one and only life, and it will go faster than you think. Find passion. It might be work, art, travel, music. Doesn't matter what it is, but passion will save you from 50% of pain. Remember, this is not a dress rehearsal, and don't sweat the small stuff. Oh, Cher, that's beautiful. Oh, I love it. A lovely cushion. Oh, that's going to be so perfect. Oh, my goodness.
On the normal website.
Oh, my goodness.
It was either that one or Pat Butcher with Frank with True Love written. But I thought this one would make you laugh more, and I thought it would just look lovely in your very posh house.
Oh my goodness, I love it already.
A share tweet cushion.
Yeah, I'd love that.
There you are.
Oh, I'd love
your Christmas present.
Oh, thank. I love it. It's so perfect. Thank you for being so thoughtful. Oh, that would be perfect. It'll cheer me up every time I look at it. It's so true, but isn't it?
It just made me laugh. I just think Philip Norman was so funny. The thing.
Yeah, lots of really funny.
I got a Christmas present for Alice, which is a black T-shirt. And then on leopard print writing, it says, "You're on mute, hun." Because she does so many meetings from home, I thought, that'll be
nice. Oh, my goodness. Every time. But why do these online... It's so true, because why do these online conferencing facilities always have so many questions before? And like, I was waiting to come into this, and I was like, yes, allow it to open the application on my laptop. Yes. Allow video. Yeah, join with video. Allow that. Yes. Like, I've said yes. I'm there. Just do it.
Just let me be me.
Stop trying to ask me all these questions all the time. It's like this really annoying... It's like the paperclip person on Word for Windows in 1998.
Yeah, I wonder what he's up to.
I've heard he's not very well. He's had a tough time. Really tough time. God. Clip. What was his name? Clip?
Sure.
I think he tried to get a job at Disney, but it didn't work out.
But it just didn't happen. He went to Pixar, but they were like, sorry, we've already got too many things.
We've got too many desk accessories. Animated.
We've already got that lamp that goes, hello.
Oh, yeah, they have, yeah.
I thought that I did something purely visual then for an audio.
But no.
But I think people can assume.
Susie moved her head to the side. That's probably true, isn't it? I've been having a super fun time sitting with my brother and my mom discussing catering for funerals, which I think our like-minded friends will enjoy.
Yes. Well, I was going to ask you how your week's been. Obviously, wow. I've been thinking about you lots. I mean, I've been in touch with you. It's not like we only catch up on this. how are you, darling?
Well, for the listeners who are just tuning in, I think people will know, but my dad died at the end of November, on the 30th of November, I think it was, yes. Mm-hmm. Just as I arrived on my holiday. A day trip holiday I had, and then came back, and it was on holiday. In a manner, I like to think of like the young Princess Elizabeth, of course, when she was where was she exactly? I can't remember. But
she might have been in Barbados or somewhere.
Was she?
I'm only thinking that because of The Crown, and I'm like, it seemed hot.
She was somewhere hot, wasn't she? And then she received the news and she had to fly back. So it's very similar to that. I came back, and now is the time to plan the funeral. So we're looking at buffet options. Sandwiches are expensive. I'll tell you that.
Really?
Well, I think like £8 or £8.50 for a premium filling round, sandwich round, you know, like four triangles.
Do you want me to pop round with some Warburtons the day?
Could you do that? And one of those like jumbo tubs of Marge.
No problem. Consider it done. Can you imagine your mum's face if I turned up?
Mum would love
six
it.
Six loaves of bread.
Just loads of ham. Yeah. Mum would love it. It's probably to be honest, it's the sort of thing that probably would do as good if we did have to do it, because you know, it's one of those things that focuses your mind. And
well, yeah, I wonder if traditionally that's what people would have done.
I think a lot of them
outsourced it.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of those kind of quite banal things to do are quite good.
Are you finding organising that sort of stuff? Are you finding it sort of quite? I don't know, sort of. Is it nice to have something to sort of engage your brain with, or is it a distraction that you don't really want?
I think it's nice. And actually, what's been frustrating is with the new COVID stuff, is frustrating because actually when we were starting to plan the funeral with the undertaker and then the vicar we went to see, who, as I said before, have all been brilliant, I felt a great sense of but it wasn't a bad feeling, the idea of looking forward to seeing people and being around people and doing a ceremony that honoured Dad and you know, was given over, you know, guided by these people who know what they're doing. It was so brilliant. And so now, though, there's a sense of like, but what if they bring in restrictions? We can't have the funeral. What if they, you know, what if one of us catches it? Or what if everybody says, oh, actually, it's too much of a risk to go to the funeral, so we're not going to do that. And and just sort of feeling just that harrowing sense of like, oh, even, you know. And what's frustrating as well is that I was like, well, we'll get through Christmas and we'll, you know, maybe even see some people, and just, you know, when you just really want hugs off friends and people, and then it's like, oh no, if you do that, you might miss your father's funeral. Like, it's such a like fucking kick in the face, to put it mildly, of just like, can we not just have this period? But then at the same time, my dad would be like, don't worry about it. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I'm not going to be. I don't care if you're not there either. I'm not going to be there. Don't worry about it. Don't ruin your life. You can't worry about this all the time. You can't worry about things you can't control. But it's just so annoying. It's just so annoying, and just sort of that fear of what if? And you can't put it out of your mind because of all these stressful headlines, and you don't know what, and just all that stuff and all the sort of politicization of it, and I just go, I don't know, I don't want it all to go away, which I know we all do, but it's just been doubly stressful, which I know I'm not the only person who's been in that boat. And even if people are not mourning somebody, it's still so fucking annoying, isn't it? Sorry to F and Jeff, sorry if you're listening to this with your children.
But I think that's I think like it's such a It must be such a strange time to be grieving whilst dealing with all of these other things. And you know, I've seen you once since you lost your dad, and it's, which seems weird because in other times I feel like I would have probably popped around a few times, but you just don't want to because you're thinking, well, I've been out at work. I'm worried about seeing your mum. You know, the last thing you want to do is feel like you were bringing something into the house. You know, it's so.
Yeah.
It's
very thoughtful, thank you. But I mean, Dad would be like, "Oh, shut up! Don't worry about it. We're gonna go. We're all gonna go one day." It would be very much his attitude. So, you know, but it is just a bit like, I don't know. It's just that extra level of fear that you just sort of like, oh, can't we just be sad and be surrounded by people rather than.
And the distraction of people.
Yeah, yeah.
People bringing in new energy and new stories, whatever, you know, even if it's not, you know, just talking about some slightly different stuff, but.
Yeah. Just sort of what, yeah, exactly. I'm wanting to do a funeral that really celebrates him and and everything, which I know we will still do one way or another. And even the worst comes to the worst, we have a very small funeral, or we have a very small, I don't know, ceremony, and then we have a memorial in the new year, please God. But if not, then sorry, that was my Irish side coming out there.
Yeah, I really noticed that.
My mum's side is Irish, and there is no way you would ever talk about the future without a please God at the end. And then Auntie Cecilia Bernadette Marie Hinnigan.
Wow, that's a really long name.
When she used to pick up, I didn't really know her, but she used to pick up the phone and say that.
Her whole name?
yeah.
So tell me again, Celia.
Hello. She wouldn't say auntie, but she'd say, hello, Cecilia Bernadette Marie Hinnigan. Or Hannigan. Are they Hannigan?
Maybe. Like Mrs. Hannigan?
I think so. She did run an orphanage as well.
Oh, that's her, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of gingerhead children. But,
did she sing?
She sang. I can't remember what I said about her. What am I saying about her? Oh, yeah, the Irish.
Saying
she would put PG after it. As a little, like, please God. If you were going, well, I'll see you next year, PG. She would, yeah. So, I forget that because we've been spending a lot of time chatting here, I forget that not everybody predicts the future. Then you don't speak to your accountant and goes, of course, for the next quarter, please God.
Just looking at my VAT for next year, please God.
I don't know if any other listeners have. I don't know if it's an exclusively Irish thing, but that's the Irish.
Do you get in touch and let us know?
Do let us know. You know the address. Anyway. So yes. So we don't know how many people will be there. It's very difficult to call it on the numbers. But we're going to do some sandwiches, some sausage rolls, some pork pies, some Scotch eggs, and I'm suggesting some chipolatas. But everybody else thinks that's too much. But fine.
Have you thought much about are people going to drink? Is it going to be alcohol?
We're putting money behind the bar, absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, well, what if some older people don't want to drink and they just want a cup of tea or a cup of coffee? And I'm like, oh.
Make them drink.
Just get a drink down, yeah.
Have a pint.
Just have a drink. And have I told you about my... and I'd be interested to see if anybody's got any opinions on this, but my sort of slightly showbiz attitude, which is I want to send a message beforehand to go, these are the words of the service, these are the bits you need to join in on, doesn't matter. Like, if you don't know what you're saying, just speak it out loud, say it loud, mm-hmm. say it proud. And also, this is the, we're going to do a carol rather than a hymn because it's still in the Christmas period. It's O Little Town of Bethlehem. Make sure you're ready to belt it out, because I just don't want it to be apologetic. I don't want a mumbling, yeah, mumbled singing. So is that too?
No, I think that's fine. I think if you want to be pushy, you be pushy. If you want everyone to have a good sing-song, then everyone should have a good sing-song.
And I think actually for people at the service, they will... now I've started it. Once you start on it... people should have something to focus on, I think is good. It gives a like structure to the ceremony rather mm-hmm. than you just sit there and cry.
Yes. Or just you speaking?
Yes, James and I are going to speak.
That's very nice.
One after the other. Uncle Andy is going to do a reading, which is nice.
That's very nice.
And the vicar's been wonderful. I can't tell you. He's been brilliant.
You said how good he's been.
Yeah, really great, great vicar. And just sort of lovely, thoughtful words. Very soothing. So that's been nice. And so all of that. And of course, I like a bit of ceremony. Sure. So maybe, you know, that's part of something to cling to. But that's what I'm just going to like. Well, are we having it or not? That sort of thing.
That's... And how are you finding it day to day when you're not... Are you okay talking about this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't want to seem like I'm prying for the listeners. are you sort of going for walks, or are you, obviously because it's so hard to see people. Have you been home much to your other home?
I popped back today. We've been back a couple of times. I did put a tree up at the weekend.
That's nice.
And that was nice. And Mum came with, and we watched Strictly. And that was really nice, just to have something to focus on. So we have seen a couple of people, and there's a lot of the sort of admin and stuff to do. But I haven't actually done. I think there's a sort of you're holding it all together, really. I suppose for the funeral.
Yeah.
And I know that's probably not healthy, but I have been crying as well. I went for a walk this morning to my house, and. I realised I was walking through the park where Dad and I would often, and my brother would, we'd go on like bike rides when we were little, or we'd go to walk the dogs when we had the dogs. And it was just sort of, just got me a bit, I don't know why, I think just get, on a grey day in December, you just sort of sometimes do go a bit like that, don't you? So I feel that, but it's, there's not that much room to grieve. I think it takes time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, as you say, like, you know, it just, there not being a specific reason, but it just coming to you, you know, when you're not really expecting it.
When I walked into the kitchen at my house, I just sort of thought about the last time I saw Dad there, and he was reading The Week, which I'd got him to read because I did not want him reading too many tabloids. And so I started buying a subscription to The Week magazine, and he loved it. And we had a piece of toast then. It was a busy day, and I was nearly going to go, like, oh, I've got to go upstairs and read up on something. And then I was like, no, have a piece of toast with him, in my head. And we did have, so silly, isn't it? But yeah, we just, so that, it's just being in the kitchen on my own just got me upset. And then, there are these moments. But the other thing is sometimes I just feel nothing. I was talking to James about it. Sometimes I just don't feel anything.
But your body can't feel things constantly because you'll go mad.
Yeah, yeah. And it isn't like the body's like in shock, I think, so it kind of protects you.
And your brain has to protect you somewhat because you need to carry on breathing and eating and sleeping. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, you can't be in that constant state of, pure emotion, because how are you carry on being?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, sometimes... Yeah, just don't feel anything or feel completely fine. Like, let's make a lasagna. And I guess
sometimes you need to make a lasagna.
Sometimes, actually, I haven't made a lasagna. I don't know why I said that. I made a macaroni cheese. I was so annoyed with myself.
Go on.
Well, the sauce was very thin, and I was like, oh, no, I need to keep cooking it. And then by the time it had gone in the oven with a few Ritz crackers crumbled on top, it was too dry.
Oh,
you want a creamy mac and cheese, don't you?
Did you think about taking off the lid, putting some cream in, then popping it in the microwave?
I wish I'd known that. Sorry, maudlin chat for the listeners. Sorry,
no.
Christmastide.
Hey, what listen, all the people that emailed in from last week said, please tell Tom to stop saying sorry for talking about stuff, and he's not going on, which is obviously something that you said on the last podcast. So please don't.
Do go on. He did go on.
No one has said that.
No, I know, but that's the sort of thing you hear in your head, isn't it? Like,
oh, Tom, I hear so many things in my head, but I can't listen to all those. I'd get nothing done.
So true, isn't it? So true.
It's like at the end of yoga when people say, I'll just leave you for a few minutes. A few minutes with your own thoughts. And you think, why would you do that to me? I don't want to be left with those guys.
After a lovely time we've been having, I'm going to go and ruin it.
I have to stretch my bits out. Not my bits, but, you know, my limbs.
What does it say? Yeah, but no, that's very nice of people to say that. But Susie, tell me, what are your Christmas plans at the moment? How are you feeling? Have you put a tree up?
We've got a small tree up. Okay. We've got a little tree up because the cat is absolutely intent on pulling over.
Oh.
Yeah, last year she started sitting at the top of the tree. Like the queen
she
that
she is. She's funny, isn't she?
She's such a strange little thing. I love her dearly, but she's so unusual as a cat.
She really is quite an eccentric cat, isn't she?
Well, it's like a witch has put a spell on a person.
Oh, is that how it feels? Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like she's just livid about it. Like Hocus Pocus, yeah. Oh. Just like that. She's not as friendly as, what's his name?
Oh.
Not Billy, that's the one with his mouth sewed up.
It's like, well, oh yeah, there's him as well, isn't there?
Is
it Billy? I want to say Billy.
No, that's...
Edward.
I'm going to have to look it up, sorry.
Yeah, no. Our listeners will know who.
Of course they will.
Hocus Pocus is such a big gay film.
Of course it's Thackeray Binks.
Thackeray Binks.
Of course. Bloody Thackeray Binks. So it's kind of like she's that. So she can't be trusted. She can't be trusted to do anything, really. So we're going to go back to Portsmouth either Christmas Eve or Christmas morning.
That'd be nice.
We'll be there for a few days. Mm. Alice's mum is coming to my parents.
Oh, that's lovely.
Which is very nice because they all get on rather well. And so we're going to spend Christmas together.
Oh, brilliant.
And that's it. And then coming back to do probably nothing for New Year.
Are you coming back? Are you going to stay down there for a few days, do you think?
Going to stay down there for, yeah, maybe 3 days and then come back home.
That's a nice amount of time, yeah.
Yeah, just to, you know, be by the sea.
Yeah, that's lovely. Do your family like to go on a walk?
Yes. Mum's got the tiny dog, Ron.
Oh, yeah, he'll need a walk, won't he?
He'll need a walk. But he's not a big dog. He's a very prissy poodle who's tiny. He's a poodle cross a Bichon, so he looks like a cartoon dog. Beautiful.
It's beautiful.
But he has a real attitude, Tom.
Oh,
I don't know
no.
if you know this about him.
No, yeah, I didn't know that.
So if he sees other small dogs, he's like, yeah, fine, we can be friends. If he sees, like,
big dog.
A German Shepherd or a Great Dane, he's
like... Oh, yeah, a lot of little dogs, I think, do. Yeah.
He really wants a fight.
I hear
And mum has to apologise and go and get him and say, I don't know why he's like this, I'm sorry, I don't know why he's like this. sorry, he's a sod.
Well, that's nice, as long as you apologise. Because some people don't apologise. Some bad dog owners don't.
But bad also, dog owners.
I can't imagine he's very frightening. And also the bigger dogs, I'm sure, will be able to hold their own.
For him.
Yeah. I remember, with our Yorkies, they used to do that. They'd
Did
go
they?
Up to... Oh, yeah, they'd go up to Rottweilers, German Shepherds, and be, like, having a go at them. And the bigger dogs just ignore them, I think.
Yeah, they're just like, who's this little guy?
Yeah, yeah, most of the time. Did when you had your big dogs, when your dad had... Ruffy.
Yeah, Ruffy. Ruffy Ruffle, yeah.
Ruffy Ruffle, which must have been awkward at the vets. Ruffy Ruffle? Do they call...
I love it how they give your...
The family name.
Your surname. It's so funny.
No.
When Velma was at the vets the other day, they're like, Velma Kelly Ruffle. May I come in with her? She doesn't speak.
She doesn't. Just to make notes.
I'll translate.
Oh, I see. He's thinking. Yeah. I understand. But did Ruffy need to be walked, or did he just look after himself because he was in the yard all the time?
He looked after himself.
Did he know?
Sometimes he would sort of go for a wander and someone would ring him and be like, your dog's in our field.
Oh, yes, he would do that, wouldn't he?
Well, you have to and be... then Dad would go in his pickup truck, whistle, open the back of the pickup truck, like, you know, the flap down bit.
Oh, wow.
Dad would whistle and he would bolt, like, so fast, and then jump up into the back of the pickup truck. Dad would shut it up and off they'd go.
So he could jump up?
Yeah.
My God. Was he an Alsatian Rottweiler cross?
Yes. That classic. cuddly mix. Yeah.
I loved him. I cuddled him.
Yeah, he was very cuddleable.
He was
huge, though, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he was massive, like a big teddy bear.
Like a big teddy bear.
Don't treat dogs as
teddy bears. Rip your face off.
He would, of course, have done that, yes. I when I was queuing for my booster the other day, I had a boost.
You've had a boost.
A boost at my local pharmacy. I had an appointment and I cancelled it and I went to the pharmacy to get a walk-in. Christopher Walken. And I wanted to do an impression of Christopher Walken while I was there walking in, but I was embarrassed and...
How would you do an impression of Christopher Walken? Would you do that dance?
I'd like... Yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah.
From that Fatboy Slim? Fatboy Slim?
It kind of talked... How does he... I can't remember that. Christopher
Walken. I'm sure you didn't do it.
I would have been... People would have been, like, very confused and like, this is a terrible impersonation. And people would have been like...
Have you seen Tom Allen?
He's lost his mind. That's what I was worried that they'd be like, that wasn't funny and I think he's really struggling. And that would have been fine too, but I didn't do it. But I was like, not... I don't know what other people were doing in there. Well, you go into the back of the pharmacy, you sit down. Yeah. I was like, the guy was like, come through. And I was like, thank you. I'm like, coat off, cardigan off, sleeve up, got my NHS number ready. I'm reading it out as I'm taking my coat off. I sit down, I'm ready to go, arm up, bang. He gives me the leaflet, see you later, right? I don't know why other people are taking so long in there.
Oh, people faff.
Come on, are you asking loads of questions about how it was made and how it was tested? Because nobody's got time for that.
But also, I don't know how, like, anything's made.
No. Well, did I tell you about when I went for my second one at Bromley Civic Centre? Thank you very much, everybody. Lovely place.
Lovely. That's where I got married.
Yes. It was kind of awkward that you were doing that in the middle of that vaccination.
I married the vaccine. I just love science.
They had a big sign, actually, that you could put up, like, that you put your head through, like, I've just been vaccinated.
Yeah, they did.
Which was unusual, I thought, for you.
And someone else was holding a golf sign. Yeah, yeah. It was an unusual wedding. Anyway, go on, Tom.
To queue up, lots of queues. And then sit. We had to sit spaced out. And then, they were very nice, but they like list the ingredients as though you're going to be like really American and be like, can I get mine without the sodium? Have you got any that are slightly lighter on the blah, blah? It was very silly, I think. Well, no, who am I to say, but I do... think it's important to get a vaccine and trust science.
I agree.
I just think, you know, since the Renaissance, I just think we need to start believing in empirical science.
I agree.
And I haven't got much time for anybody who does start to question evidence-based
science. One of my mum's friends has refused to get the vaccine and mum sort of stopped being friends with her. Mum was like, because the conversations keep coming back to it and I don't want to hang out with her.
Well, yeah.
And I think that's fair enough.
I just...
Because you go, I'm sorry, I'm not sure that you know more than someone who has studied epidemiology.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to say it.
Absolutely.
If the last qualifications you did were your O-levels...
Maybe.
Maybe we should trust someone that is a professor.
Absolutely. And I think it's still on the iPlayer... But I want to recommend to everybody, if they haven't watched it, there's a really great speech on the BBC iPlayer that was given by Professor Dame Sarah Catherine Gilbert, as I've just found her full name. Professor Gilbert is the key inventor of the AstraZeneca vaccine, and it is so inspiring, and she's so brilliant, and she explains it so clearly and everything about it, and it's so interesting. Like, they were, like, the team, no one was bringing them food. They had to survive off food from the vending machines until they ran out of change. This was in the beginning. I think people did start to bring food, but, you know, and they had to be like, they had to fight to be declared like key workers so they could have their children at school.
Oh, at school, yeah.
And David Dimbleby was there, who was chairing it. It was the Richard Dimbleby lecture. No, yeah, Richard Dimbleby lecture. And he was chairing it. And he said, how much does it cost to develop a vaccine? And she was like, oh, sort of £1 million. And it was like, what? Like for that research that they did was like £1 million. Like, in the scheme of things. Anyway, it's so brilliant. If you get a chance to watch it, the only thing I was annoyed about was like, it was on at 10:30 at night or something.
It should have been at 8 o'clock and everyone should watch it.
Everybody should have seen it. It would have been so inspiring to young people. You know, and I just thought, yeah, I just thought she was so wonderful. Anyway, there's a little bit of takeaway. Watch that. Watch that cheer you up. It's good. Sorry, I realise I've talked a lot, haven't I?
No, it's great. It's great. It's great. Well, Tom, this is our final episode before Christmas. So we should probably tell everyone to have a Merry Christmas.
Have a very Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you for being my like-minded friends at this time. I really appreciate it and all the lovely messages and everything. It's been very, very wonderful. I'm very grateful, so thank you. It's been the true meaning of Christmas.
And if you want to get in touch with us, you always can. The email is hello@likemindedfriendspod.com. And quite a lot of you have got in touch after Tom's dad sadly passed away and have sent some very beautiful messages that I will send on to Tom when he is ready to read them. But thank you, because I think that a lot of people put a lot of time and effort into those. And so that is greatly appreciated.
So wonderful. I'm honestly so heartened. Thank you very much.
And we'll see you next time. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Enjoy it.
And we'll see you for our Betwixtmas episode.
Oh, you bet we will. You bet.
Okay. PG.
PG.
PG. PG. Okay then.
All right. Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.